David Tsai.
Spend the David Tsai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Tsai Thursday Live.
Radio Tsai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Dear listeners, greetings and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Live. This is Radio Sai Global Harmony's Asia Stream, bringing you the message of Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And you are with me, Raghu, in the service of Sai from Team Radio Sai, speaking to you live from Prashanthinilayam, the abode of highest peaks, the spiritual capital of the entire universe. Once, his mother asked for a well for the village, and he undertook and completed one of the largest water projects in the world by any private organizations. His mother asked for a dispensary for the village, and he built super specialty hospitals providing state-of-the-art medical services free of cost to all without any distinction. His mother asked for a school for the village, and he built a university of higher learning that provides free education, which is today considered one of the best in the country. He is our guide and inspiration, Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And dear listeners, let us all collectively offer our most humble and loving pranams at his lotus feet. Inspired by his teachings, love all and serve all, help ever and hurt never. This segment is aptly named Service Love in Action, in which we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami, translating into service to humanity. Today is 18th of December, and the time right now in our studio is 12 noon, where it's a wonderful and bright and pleasant afternoon here at Prashanthinilayam Ashram. The weather condition is quite comfortable. Today, as part of the segment Service Love in Action, I'll be playing for you a conversation with Mr. Bob Singh from USA. And in this conversation, he'll be talking to us about his experiences of being involved in various service activities in different parts of the world. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Bishop Prashti.
Sairam, Mr. Bob Singh, and a warm welcome to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sairam, Brother Bishop.
I know you would like to be called Brother Bob Singh than Mr. Bob Singh.
I sincerely appreciate it.
And you are truly a Sai brother to so many. In fact, I am also tempted to call you as brother, even though you are so elder to me, because you are someone who exudes so much of warmth and so much of endearing feeling whenever we meet you. So I am tempted to call you brother. And the reason also we are here today is because you have been a Sai brother to so many, not only in the Sai fraternity, but going out of the way and reaching out to people in distress. I heard that you have spent almost this entire year engaged only in service activities. From February 2014 till May 2014, you were in Philippines, in Tacloban, helping the people who were affected by the typhoon and working with the Satya Sai organization to provide help and help these people rebuild their lives. And after that, you took a short break and you went to Guyana. Again, you spent there weeks trying to help, doing medical camps there, and where there is so much of pain and so much of distress. And you were part of the team that was working behind the scenes in making things happen in all these impoverished areas. So you practically spent, and after that you came to Puttaparthi, and you are again involved here in the medical camp that happens during birthday in Prashanthinilayam. You are practically one of the very lucky ones, really, who have got this chance to spend your time in service. I mean, there is no joy greater than actually being engaged in selfless service. I don't know how you are feeling, but just the thought that you have been able to do that gives me so much happiness.
Yes, indeed.
How has it been this entire year? You've just been out there only doing Swami's work.
Please permit me, Buddha. Let me offer my prayers to my beloved Bhagwan for this opportunity to be here in Prashanti Nilayam in Radio Sai Studios to share my thoughts, and I pray that he will speak through me and think through me, and may all my words be his only. I offer myself at his lotus feet. Brother, this year has been a very significant year in all aspects. I feel very blessed to be among loved ones who have supported me and helped me to do the things, to do all seva under one umbrella, Baba's love.
Yes, as you rightly said, without the support of your loved ones, you will not be able to take so much time off.
No, absolutely.
And you should be grateful to them, and definitely immensely grateful to Bhagwan for having enabled this.
Yes, this year I decided that wherever he sent me, it is all Bhagwan's Baba will. I was at home and I was asked if I was free and will I be able to help. And immediately I knew that was a calling, that I should be able to offer assistance. I felt this would be more useful to me, because I felt personal transformation, doing things with our own hands to help others, is the best way. And that's how it happened when I was given the opportunity to serve in the Philippines after the typhoon.
So how did that happen? So tell us right from the beginning how you got involved in this Philippine seva, and how was it when you first landed there and so on?
I was at home and the newsletter came out for volunteers, and I registered to volunteer.
This was in
2013, immediately after the typhoon.
Okay.
Immediately after the typhoon.
The typhoon happened in November.
November, yeah. And we were at Baba's here for birthday when it happened. And I had already left and went back to the U.S. So it was only after I went home that I was invited to volunteer through the registration process. And Uncle John Benner said, it's okay, I can participate, because I had helped also in Haiti for those projects. Dr. Reddy had interviewed me and he approved for me to go. I have never been to the Philippines and I didn't know what to expect, but it was a disaster area. And I must offer sincere thanks to the devotees in Manila, Brother Ramesh and his family, Dr. Lakshmi, Brother Sitaram and his family, and all the loved ones in Manila. Most blessings to them, because they were the ones who hosted us when we arrived in Manila.
Mm-hmm.
It was not easy to go directly to Tacloban. We had to go through Manila, and the jet lag was tremendous. For me at least, I took a couple of days and I rested, and they took care of me as best as they could and put me on the third day's flight to Tacloban. Tacloban is a city that is about an hour and a half flight from Manila. Cut off from the rest of the world, I would say, after the typhoon. Mm-hmm. There was no electricity, there was no water.
This is Typhoon Haiyan.
Typhoon Haiyan, yes. But I was only going as an anchor person. My predecessor was Mr. Brother John Flores and his wife Zani from Netherlands. And they had done a fantastic job to set up Sai Home.
Mm-hmm.
Sai Home was the light where Baba's light shone.
Oh.
All over Tacloban.
Okay, so that was your main vantage point from which you did your service activities.
That is correct. And that's where Baba let us do everything smoothly.
Mm.
And with all his love, everything happened so beautifully. Philippines and Tacloban is a culture that is unique. Even though they went through such hardships, it was a disaster beyond comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. Many lost lives, many lost homes, entire belongings washed away, and total destruction. Even in Sai Home, that was rented for us to use as the base for operations, for international Psi relief operations. The first level of Psi home was underwater.
Oh my God, this is when?
In January.
But the typhoon happened in November.
In November.
2-3 months down the line, it is still that.
The cleaning process was still underway. Everybody was still pulling debris out from everywhere.
Oh my God.
And our neighbors who we saw when I arrived, they still had all their sofas and everything floating around from somewhere else but landed in their yard.
But yeah, I mean, I remember the news. I mean, it was a Category 5 typhoon and
yeah.
15 million people were affected, 6,000 reported dead. I mean, I think it was something so severe.
It was. So, when I arrived at the airport, there was actually no airport. The roof was gone. Only the tarmac was there.
Oh.
There was nothing to use. You have to use manual labor to get your luggage out and everything. Only recently, I believe, some automation came back. But at that time, it was no electricity or running water or anything there.
Oh my God, even where you stayed, there was no electricity, no anything?
There was no electricity and running water. It was in the second month of my stay there that the electricity came on. And oh. Baba blessed also
so
that we had running water.
You lived without electricity for a month?
That's correct. There was a generator that Brother Jan had left behind. Mm-hmm. And we used that every evening to charge our telephones or whatever.
Mobile phones.
Yeah, and to get service from a mobile service was also difficult. You couldn't get connection. We had to go to the internet cafe to use the internet cafe, and there were long lines at the internet cafe to use for emails.
Oh.
So, for food, you cook everything during the day. I will come to that for Narayana Seva and stories and so on. But coming into Sai Home was the greatest gift, because this home was prepared to receive all of us, from Brother Jan to myself and to everyone else who will come month after month to serve in Tacloban. And to all of them who came and served, Baba's blessings to them. And to all those who will be coming after to serve, may they enjoy their service there. It's a really great seva, great opportunity to serve the poor. The people of Tacloban, they were malnourished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us more about Tacloban. I mean, what is the location like? And, you know, what was the effect of this typhoon on Tacloban? And why did you choose Tacloban
yes.
to do this service activity?
Absolutely. Tacloban is a city on the water's edge.
Mm-hmm.
And around the water's edge for many miles, I would say 10, 12, 15 miles, they have smaller towns or municipalities. Each municipality will have a cluster of barangays. They're called barangays.
Mm-hmm.
In English, I guess it's village.
Okay.
But in Philippine language, they're called barangays. The municipality will have a mayor, and he will have a rural health officer who will help him for health issues in the municipality. Under each municipality, they will have a cluster of barangays. Each barangay will be serviced by a capitan or a capitana, a man or a woman, who has been selected by the locals to service them.
Something like a village head.
Exactly. So, my role was to help in coordinating as the anchor person for International Psi Relief Organization in Tacloban, was to coordinate the medical camps that will follow.
Okay.
From the overseas doctors who will arrive, and to coordinate the Narayana Seva.
Okay.
And to coordinate the third project, which was the school reconstruction that was chosen for reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And a fourth project was the pure water
okay.
project. However, all of this were done in coordination with the loving guidance of Brother Ramesh Subramanian from Manila and Dr. Lakshmi for medical camp, because they supported all the doctors who came from overseas to do their project in the medical camps and the procurement of all the supplies and everything. So they were amazing resources, and Baba's devotees, who understood the nature of the disaster and reached out to help everyone who came to help, all the volunteers who came to help. Now, all the barangays were affected who were living near the water's edge.
Mm.
And so they lost their entire homes.
Mm.
The typhoon was about 30 feet.
30 feet?
Yes. In fact, I stood up in front of a house once and I took a photo.
Mm.
And the gentleman asked me, do I know where I was standing? I said, well, I'm standing in front of a house taking a photo. And he said, well, that house was underwater when the tsunami came.
Mm.
And it was a three-story house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm. And so I said, oh, my gosh. Now, all these barangays, the clusters, some have 40,000 population, some have 20,000, depending on the size of the municipality.
Yes.
And so you have to deal with the mayor of Tacloban.
20,000?
Yes.
40,000?
40,000.
I mean, these are not small villages.
No. No. And they are scattered. They are very scattered in the countryside.
They are huge rural clusters.
Yes. Yes. So, they are a rice farming community and coconut
growing
community. Their livelihood was based on these two products.
And like how many such clusters were affected?
In Tacloban, there were quite a lot. But our reach was within 10 to 12 miles around the
waterline.
Of Tacloban.
Mm.
Beyond that, it was impossible to get to.
Oh.
We tried to get to the last one, which we went by boat to serve in the medical camp, and that was Barangay Burgos.
Mm.
And that was the last point where we had to join with the assistance of Sister Perla Tiburcio, who is a retired dental surgeon from the military. She helped us with the military to get to that barangay, Burgos, or else we wouldn't have been able to get there.
Okay.
Because the road stops.
Road stops.
And then it becomes really slippery and dangerous.
You cannot get without the
army. Without the help of the military. So that's how I had to go and meet with all the barangays.
All the village heads.
All the village heads. And then meet with the municipal mayors to get their approvals for the medical camps to be held within those barangays.
Oh, okay.
As long as they give you their go-ahead, then you coordinate with Dr. Hari, who will coordinate the medical teams that will come to undertake the medical camps for 7 days or 6 days or whatever. I want to share with you, brother, the Narayana Seva aspect.
Yeah. That started immediately.
That was ongoing, that Brother Jan had started immediately upon his arrival. And God bless him, because
Brother Jan is from?
Netherlands.
Netherlands.
And his wife, Jani.
Yeah.
They were the two who started with Lise, who was a Sai Home caretaker.
Okay.
I call her the caretaker because she is a pillar of Sai Home.
Yeah.
And they started Narayana Seva right close to Sai Home. And you must remember also that there was no transportation because all the vehicles in Tacloban were destroyed by flooding.
Mm-hmm.
So those that were available, they were very expensive to get, to rent, to use for transportation.
Oh my God.
So even brand new vehicles were submerged. So many, many car lots and everything, lots of damage. So they used to do Narayana Seva with one that was available in the neighborhood, multi-cab it's called, that they prepare food in Sai Home. Lees will cook the basic rice, mung beans, mung dal, chop suey, pancit, which is noodles, and a variety of dishes rotating every day. So this is how Narayana Seva was done. And it started with one barangay, then it increased to another barangay, and so on. Now it's over 500 to 700 meals, I believe, because each barangay had like 60 to 70 children. And then some adults will also come, those senior citizens, and they will also join in the queues for some lunch. But all the food is taken from Sai Home. Now, I experienced one little child who came with a plate, and they all come with their own plates because we didn't have enough plates to give to them. And all we'll say, plateau, 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 and they will come with their plates and join the queue. But they know that we greet each other like we say Sai Ram, and they heard us saying Sai Ram. So when they see us coming Sai Ram, they started saying Sai Ram to us. But there was one little child, she had her plate on top of her head and waiting in the queue. But I couldn't see her face because the plate was over her face and she's waiting for food, but I knew it would fall if I put it. So I went around and I kneeled down and I looked at her and she was very skinny and her name is Arnie.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that she's one of four or five children in the family. And I told her, I said, I must serve you this way. So I took the food out, I took the plate from her, I put it in, I gave it to her. And she was holding this plate so steadily and she was looking at it. Should I walk or shouldn't I walk? Will it fall mm-hmm. if I walk? And I said, no, Arnie, you go slowly, it will not fall.
Mm.
And she looked at me and my heart just melted.
Mm.
And I said, I want to see how Arnie will manage from day to day. Every day she will be the first in queue because I wanted her to be the first to get her food. When I left, Arnie started to look different. Her features, her face, her arms, everything started to look healthy.
Wow.
And she was so happy, very wow. happy. And that was only one that I followed and I looked at to see how Baba's love was flowing through the Narayana Seva to have such an impact.
They didn't have really food, right? They were really malnourished.
Very malnourished, because many of them didn't have anything, no clothes even, because all the clothes they had on them was what they ran away with when they were sleeping, because it was early morning.
That's all they had.
That's all they had. So for many days they didn't have anything. They didn't have anything. And not only children, many children lost their parents.
Hmm.
So only neighbors and friends are taking care of them. You know, even Lisa's husband, she lost her husband in the typhoon. So the disaster was far, very far reaching. And so everyone was affected in one way or the other. The most beautiful thing about the Filipino people though is that with all that they went through, they tried to maintain a cheerful disposition.
Mm.
And they will never make you feel that they are very sad or like that. They were
not complaining.
They were not complaining, but they were very happy when they see you coming. Oh. They embrace you warmly and they welcome you and they thank you and they will sing a song in their language.
Oh my God.
They will say good morning. Like when you arrive at the airport, they sing a song and they clap their hands in their local language to welcome you.
Wow.
And especially when they see a foreigner coming to help them, they always say, we thank you for coming and helping us at a time of distress. They always say, thank you for helping our people.
Mm.
So this is how Baba's love in action takes place.
So as soon as you went, you got engaged in Narayan Seva.
I did, instantly. Mm. Instantly. I was always...
And you had to also stay there with no electricity, no running water and all that.
So about 2 months being there.
I hope you were healthy.
The Baba's blessings, we tried. We tried with candles and mosquitoes were there and flies and everything. Mm. But you know, Baba makes it comfortable for us.
I think when the spirit is so high, the body just copes with it.
Yeah. And it's a very hot country when it's hot in the sunshine. It's extremely hot.
Wow.
Extremely hot.
Were you able to sleep in the nights?
It's very hot. You try to put on all the fans and let it go, you know, and try to make the best of it.
Mm.
But we start early. We go to the market for procuring the vegetables and all the food items. The only thing we bought in the market was vegetables because we don't have a refrigerator because there was nowhere to store.
Oh.
There was a refrigerator but no electricity to run it.
Mm.
So the generator could not stay on all the time.
Mm.
So we would use day by day.
Oh, so you have to go frequently
to the markets and, you know, buying large quantities, you have to be careful not to waste.
Correct. Mm.
So we would use regularly every day and that's how we started building the momentum.
Mm.
And then we started adopting other villages, other barangays to include them. So we'd start cooking more food and it started. So we had to buy bigger pots and so on.
Mm. I was reading this report of the International Sai Organization. It says that the Satya Sai Organization in Philippines, they sprang into action immediately on 16th November itself you know, the typhoon happened on 8 November. On 16 November, there were Sathya Sai volunteers who loaded a 20-foot container with goods and supplies, including 351 family packs containing food and other items. And they transported the container by barge to the island of Birlan, arriving there on 23rd November. And the food and supplies were distributed to the needy by the wife of the local congressman of Biliran province.
That is correct, brother. That I was told. I was not there when that happened. That happened during the prior anchor person, Brother Jan, and Brother Ramesh, and all of them. They were the ones who undertook that massive seva project.
So it started from there.
And absolutely.
And the Narayan Seva continued.
And the Narayan Seva continued.
12:25 p.m. and it's a wonderful, bright and pleasant afternoon here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram, the spiritual capital of the entire universe. You are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmonies Asia Stream, and this is Thursday Live. And this is a segment, Service Love in Action, and you are with me, Raghu, in the service of Sai from Team Radio Sai. Well, dear listeners, today as part of today's segment, Service Love in Action, I played for you a conversation with Mr. Bob Singh from USA. And as you heard, he talked to us about the various service activities in which he was involved and the experiences of being involved in the service activities. Well, this conversation is not fully over. The second part of this conversation I'll be playing for you next week in the segment, Service Love in Action. In conversation with Mr. Bob Singh was Radio Sai's Pishu Prishti. Your feedback, comments and suggestions, as always, are always welcome. Please mail them to listener@radiosai.org. It's time for me to sign off for today. As always, I place this segment at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet. And in a while from now, you will be joined, you will be having a wonderful satsang with brothers Prem and Arvind. Jai Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Srinivasa Venkatesha. सकल जगत आधारा साई,
सकल जगत आधारा साई,
पूर्ण ब्रह्म अवतारा साई।